This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and happy Friday to you. July 31st or Saturday morning, August. August 1st? Can you believe it? I mean, man, has the year not flown? But glad that you're joining us here on WGCL as we wrap up month number 7, start month number 8. And it's going to be a good show. Very excited to have our guest in the studio tonight, Mr. Jason Bletsinger. He's the assistant superintendent of Richland Bean Blossom Schools over in the Ellettsville District. And he is going to have lots of good stuff to talk about. We're going to bring a lot of things about not just the RBB school system, but about education in general. We'll talk about technology in the classrooms. If you've been reading the social media saying that there's been this tremendous drop in the number of teachers in college, prospective teachers in colleges, people who are looking to become educators in the future. We're going to get his perspective on that. Just a lot of good things coming out of the Richland Bean Blossom School Corporation. And I'm proud to say that as an alumni of the RBB school system and a mighty Mustang. So Jason Bletsinger is going to be in the studio in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to have give him as much time as we can here in a little bit. The burr months are around the corner, though. The burr months being September, October, November, December. If you're catching us Saturday morning, you can now say next month. And it's hard to believe, but that's kind of my favorite time of the year. When you get into the cooler weather, you get into football, you get into bonfires, you get into persimmon pudding and Halloween and all of that. We're getting into some fun stuff. So very excited to have you all with me as we get moving through the calendar year. But of course, that means also that school is starting back up. Richland Bean Blossom is going to be starting on Tuesday next week, August 4th, and MCCSC begins on Monday, August 3rd. That means if you're catching this, you need to make sure that your work commute, first of all, if you're catching it, you are catching it. You heard me say it. Your work commute may be adjusted a little bit on Monday morning as the school buses are out and people are getting their kids on the bus for the first time in the school season and what have you. So make sure that you take a few extra minutes on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, probably Wednesday, most likely Thursday, and hopefully by Friday we've got a routine. But don't forget also that Wednesdays are the days where school starts later, both for MCCSC and RBB. We'll talk with Jason about that here in just a couple of minutes as well. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview has all of your information about the show, as well as WGCLRadio.com. You can go over there. You can click on the local shows link and catch up with not only the Bloomington Review, but also Your Money with David Hayes, In the Zone, Glass in the Morning. All of your favorite stuff here on WGCL is available at WGCLRadio.com and at WGCLRadio. On Twitter. We're going to come back, give you a quick news and forecast for the weekend, and then we will get to Mr. Bletsinger in just a couple minutes. Reds coverage, of course, here on WGCL. High school starting up. That means high school football on Fridays here on the radio station. Lots of good things. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple minutes right here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you. And I forgot to mention, Mr. Pillar is on assignment this week, and he has a legitimate reason because his school is starting back up on Monday. So he is getting some things ready for the staff and the parents and the kids at Jackson Creek Middle School. But I think we'll see Mr. Pillar next week, hopefully, once things shake out a little bit for him and his school system. Forecast for the weekend, Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Saturday, sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 67. And then on Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoon. But it looks like it's going to be sunny in the morning with a high near 84. And then once school starts back up locally, there's a 30 to 50% chance of rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So send the kids out with their umbrellas or raincoats. That way they don't get their brand new school clothes too wet and too dirty. Of course, all your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. According to the Herald Times, there seems to be a general consensus that the area around the Monroe County Courthouse warrants protection through historic designation, but the city wants to hear from more property owners and tenants. Courthouse Square already is listed on state and federal list, but local historic preservation will prevent demolition of buildings downtown. The National Register of Historic Places sets the Courthouse Square bounds roughly at 7th, Walnut, and 4th Streets and College Avenue, and the local district is set to follow roughly those same boundaries. The city's moving full speed ahead, according to the HT, with the designation and starting the process to develop guidelines for how to treat buildings that contribute to the historic district, according to Nancy Highstand, who's the program manager for the city's Housing and Neighborhood Development Department. So far, there haven't been any objections, she said, but the city also isn't so sure how many of the 44 property owners and many more tenants it actually is reaching through mailings and other outreach efforts. But we may be seeing the courthouse finally making it on the historic register there. Martha's House has been big in the local news recently, and the Federal Internal Revenue Service in June filed a second tax lien against the former Bloomington nonprofit for failure to pay their quarterly federal tax returns. The lien totals almost $40,000 and was filed with the County Recorder's Office for failure to pay quarterly federal tax returns for the entire 2013 tax period. Employers who withhold income, Social Security, or Medicare taxes, or must pay the employer's portion of Social Security or Medicare tax, need to report those taxes to the IRS. Patrick Murray, who served on the former nonprofit's board of directors and volunteered as executive director for Martha's House in the three-year period that it functioned without formal leadership, said in an email he's working with the IRS on the matter and would have no further comment. They lost their 501c3 status as of October 2014, and a board of directors voted to dissolve the homeless shelter as a corporation in May. However, Martha's House is still registered with the Indiana Secretary of State as a nonprofit domestic corporation, and Murray is listed as the corporation's registered agent. Planned Parenthood has been making national news and probably international as well recently. The Herald Times had an article this week that said that a State Department of Health investigation into the three Planned Parenthood clinics in Indiana that provide surgical abortions, and that does include the one in Bloomington on South College Avenue, found that all three health centers are compliant with state licensure regulations. After the release of secretly taped videos from an anti-abortion group detailing alleged illegal practices by Planned Parenthood, Governor Mike Pence called for Indiana's Planned Parenthood centers to undergo investigation to determine if the health clinics participate in illegal activity, such as the sale of human body parts. Health centers of Planned Parenthood are located in Merrillville, Bloomington, and Indianapolis, and were all found compliant by the Indiana State Department of Health with no deficiencies cited, according to letters sent to Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky at July 28th. We're going to take a break, come back, and get to Mr. Jason Blutzinger, because I know he's got plenty to talk about. We've got sports action coming up in just a little bit. Stay with us. Lots to do. We're glad to have you here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Minman here in the studio with you, and excited to have back with me again as he is counting down the hours, so to speak, at this point, Mr. Jason Blutzinger, the assistant superintendent of RBB. You're coming off your... Do you get a summer break, like most people would assume, in the education field?
Jim, I take a few days in the summer. I spend most of my time in June closing out the previous school year, mm-hmm. working on grants, closing those out. Take a few days in July to recoup here, right. The 1st of July, and then we're back at it. You know, the hiring process, making sure the materials and resources are ready to go, and just getting ready for staff and students to return at the end of July, 1st of August.
Which happens next week. Ironically, it's the 1st of August, and teachers go back on Monday, which I'm sure that many have already been back in their classrooms getting things prepped up and all of that. And Tuesday, August 4th, big day for the kids out in Ellettsville.
It is.
That's awesome. What's the enrollment at RBB, roughly?
Roughly, I think last year we were pushing about 2,900. And so we hope to increase that a little bit as we get into the school year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you were on a couple of years back, and I wanted to have you back and just kind of talk about a variety of things out at our Richland Bean Blossom. First of all, what's on the agenda for the 2015-2016 school year? I mean, big question, obviously. So talk about some things that are coming up across the board.
Big question, loaded question. We're still in the process of we've wrapped up some hiring, of course. when you get into any summer, you've staff that move on to different opportunities, and so we've had a pretty good shift in staff at our junior high school, and even our high school we've had to replace a few staff. So, and we've had some late resignations, but we're getting those filled, and we're getting those filled with quality people for our kids.
Good.
So that's we're wrapping that up, and also we. We have our focus every year. When I started, I guess I started my first full year at the 14-15 school year, and wanted to really create a universal focus, an overarching focus that would be able to go from year to year, but at the same time allow schools to progress at a pace comfortable to the staff and the administration. And so, as we get into this year, just like last, our focus is continuing to develop that professional learning community structure. How do our staff, what's the structure for our staff to communicate and to collaborate collectively for the betterment of them professionally and for our student success. Also want to continue to develop our continuous quality improvement structure. That helps drive our school and corporation continuous improvement. So it's not just school improvement goals, corporation improvement goals, but it's how do all of our stakeholders, how do all of our departments operate within one another for the betterment of the organization's success. And so that's going to be big this year in terms of developing that structure and continuing that structure. This is also our advanced ed accreditation review year, and so that will lend itself to that review.
And something like that, does that happen at all the different schools? Is that a corporation review? What is that exactly?
We do a system-wide review. So it's a review of our entire corporation, our operations, our processes, how we communicate for our systems, within all of our departments, for our instructional process. And the instructional process is really just one component of the advanced ed review, and how our resources support the instructional process, just our daily operations, how we utilize data to manage our quality within the corporation, not just the instructional process, but food service, transportation, technology, human resources, payroll, finance. How do we continuously strive to get better as a corporation? And so, that's a real big bullet right there. When we talk about developing that continuous quality improvement, it impacts everyone in our corporation, impacts all of our stakeholders.
Okay. Well, talking about improvement and looking at the review, so to speak, there was a lot of talk. There's been a newspaper article about this, about these new assessments and things. And I already see the smile on your face with it. What has that been like when you talk to the teachers, when you hear from the parents? There was so much last year about testing for the kids and, time and worn out and all that. I mean, how did it really shake out from your perspective?
Well, I think we're at a point where I think the community wants it as well, where we start to, and now's really the opportunity to focus our assessment process, minimize it, but assessments are a good thing, because if you're looking at assessments formatively throughout the instructional process, you're going to be able to identify where your kids are at and inform where we're going to continue to go forward. Now's the time to really focus our assessments to give the right assessments that's going to give us the right information at the right time to help us make the right decisions for kids. And so it's an opportunity to minimize the number of assessments, yet maximize the quality and the approach. For frame of reference, the past several years, the state has basically purchased Acuity through CTB McGraw-Hill, and they used to be our vendor for iStep as well. And so Acuity is a standards-based assessment, and we would give that a few times throughout the course of the year to help predict student success on iStep. And so with that information, we'll be able to target, what are some of the core instructional needs, what are some of the needs of specific student groups, and even drill it down to the individual student. And so with the change in vendors for this coming year. That was back in late spring.
Right.
The state decided to go with Pearson for the ice step. Well, at the first, they weren't going to reward that contract to CTB or McGraw-Hill, but now the state has decided, instead of purchase a statewide assessment that people can use throughout the course of the year, we're going to give that money back to the school corporations.
Really?
So giving us the local control, the corporations, the schools, the local control to identify, you know, what are those formative assessments that we want that's going to help drive our, it's going to help our drive student learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be, it's not going to be an event. It's going to be just ongoing throughout the instructional process to help our teachers and administrators identify where do we need to continue to go with our kids. And so we don't know what that's going to look like yet. We've attended this, several assessment caravans. This just came to light July 1. With the State Board of Education meeting. And so we've had our administrative team attend a couple of different assessment caravans
mm-hmm.
through some of the big-name assessment companies like McGraw-Hill. They've been looking at Acuity, NWEA, Measurement of Academic Progress, and Navigators, Skills Navigator. Five Star is working with Key Data Systems. Also, Pearson's put some things out there. And so we've just started to get some of that information, and now we're at a point in time where we need to come back together collectively as an administrative team and even get our teachers involved in looking at what's going to be our future formative assessment
right.
to help us with our instruction and the instructional process. What's interesting about this is the details of the grant have not been communicated yet
mm-hmm.
In terms of how to go about applying. We don't know what the timeline is going to be, and we start school on Tuesday.
True.
You know, so some of the things that we have in place right now in terms of AIMS Web assessments, those are research-based assessments in math and reading skills. Those are things that we're going to have to continue to stay the course so we have information on kids and being able to change instructional outcomes.
Good, good, good. I would love to be a fly on the wall at McGraw-Hill sometime after all the news that they made several months back. I cannot even imagine.
Well, you know what? Interestingly enough, when we went to the assessment caravan, one of the representatives said, you know, we're not CTB McGraw-Hill, we are McGraw-Hill. So I think there was a little bit of separation there. I don't know if that had to do with what took place
right.
last spring.
One more thing before we take a break here. We've talked that, you know, obviously next week, August 4th, is the first day back for the kids, and RBB's kind of moving to that balanced calendar, so to speak. How is that working for the staff? How's it working for parents in the Ellettsville area? What's the feedback that you're getting as things kind of stretch out a little bit more over the 12 months?
Well, this is really our second year, I think full second year of that modified balanced calendar. I know we were transitioning. The year I came in 13-14,
mm-hmm.
I think they were making that transition. The benefits for students and staff, I think test score-wise, it's too soon to tell. And with the fluctuation of the testing in the state and,
right.
and who knows what that's going to look like yet, I mean, you can't really go to that to tell. But I know just in talking with our staff, they've been very positive about the calendar.
Good.
You know, as we plan for this coming year, we had a little discussion about it, but you know, seemed to be positive about the direction it's going. I think, you know, the way it operates, it makes sense. We start school 1st of August.
Mm-hmm.
We want to start in, you know, 1st of August because psychologically, you know, it's not July.
Right.
And so that's
right.
that's always helpful. You know, we go on our fall break for a week
mm-hmm.
at the end of the first quarter. You know, so there's that nice separation between the first and second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
End of second quarter is when we go into the winter break. Third quarter starts up, we come back from the winter break. We go into spring break. That's the end of the third quarter. So there is some nice separation
yeah.
between the quarters, those academic sessions.
Okay. And real quick, does RBB do the late start like MCCSC does at all?
We do the late starts.
Do you?
Yes,
what
we
day
do.
Of the week is RBB's?
Wednesdays.
Okay.
We start a half hour later. Those are professional development times for our staff when they get together and engage in curriculum discussions and building meetings.
Great. We're talking with Jason Blitzinger from Richland Bean Blossom Community Schools. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more. We'll talk about funding out in the school system and how the extracurricular activities are taking place out there. We'll talk a little bit about social media and technology in the classrooms and much more. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Bloomington Review. We're talking with Jason Blitzinger from Richland Bean Blossom Community School Corporation. He's the assistant superintendent out there, and he is the man. He really is. You've got the groove, brother. I appreciate you coming out and talking about all of this stuff. Talk on a slightly funner aspect, but extracurricular activities. You know, there's been the remodel and build out of both the high school and junior high at Edgewood. Of course, there has been financial considerations across the board, not just at Edgewood, but across the community, across Bloomington, Monroe County, the state over the last several years. We're funding the basics, obviously. How about, you know, the arts and sports and things like that at all the different buildings at RBB? How are those holding up in this day and age?
Well, with our athletic facilities, we're certainly looking at our capital projects funding. We certainly want to try to make our facilities look up to the level of our athletics, mm-hmm. and of our extracurricular activities, our music programs and such. In fact, you know, if you would talk about a wish list for RBB, that's one of them, is to really update our facilities, update our outdoor facilities for athletics. And, you know, in speaking with Dr. Wilcox, we were talking about it as well, and you know, he mentioned, hey, man, make sure you mention that we're looking for a corporate sponsor for turf for a football field. So, if anyone wants to help out, you know, we're sort of looking at that.
We'll see if David Hayes is available for that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. You know, so we're always looking to update our facilities so that way, you know, we have a lot of great things going on in our school corporation. For a smaller, you know, it's just the right size corporation where it's large enough to offer 19 varsity sports, tremendous academics, award-winning show choirs and bands and marching bands, but it's small enough still where you're not a number,
right?
You're a name, and but we need to continue to develop our facilities to be able to match the award-winning programs that we have, mm-hmm. and so that way we're competitive in the region for attracting students to our corporation.
Well, talking about attracting students and families, again, another topic in the news lately has been about vouchers and charter schools and all these different things where kids and families are looking at other educational opportunities. So what distinguishes RBB as the place to be if you live in that school district?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, with everything that's going on now in the state and, you know, in the nation in terms mm-hmm. of education, what, you know, I'm not only an administrator in a corporation or, you know, I'm not an employee in a corporation, but my kids go to our school corporation. You know, I choose to have them go there because of the smaller atmosphere. You know, the teachers that my kids have had, they know my child. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the time to know them. They can, when I sit and talk with them about my kids, they describe them to a T. They truly know them. They truly care about their well-being, and everybody's watching out for one another. You know, like I said, it's a corporation big enough to offer great opportunities, but it's a small enough corporation where you're not just a number, you're a name, and people know who you are. You know, I think some of the, you know, and it's not just that, you know, I have to give a plug to the Community Foundation for all their support in funding through some grants and endowments. Our family engagement coordinator, Jill Ferguson, is our family engagement coordinator, and, you know, she does a fantastic job in getting parents into our schools, what we call in our PI teams, partner in education teams, and that parents, local community agencies coming together to develop goals and action plans mm-hmm. that tie to our school improvement goals. And so I think that's a really unique opportunity to have somebody like that who can help bridge the gap with our community get people engaged for a common cause for our schools. Our one-to-one device initiative, RBB was, I think, one of the early adopters of a one-to-one technology initiative with iPads in the classroom in grades 6 through 12. And it's, you know, it continues to be that beacon of tech development.
Sure.
And so, you know, always looking to reframe our approach, and with that initiative is maybe extend that to K through 5. You know, I think that's something that also a wish list. It certainly I think sets us above many of the regional schools. And again, just the course offerings that we have for the school of our size and, mm-hmm. and the varsity sports that we offer, it's a tremendous place. I mean, I came from a larger school corporation. I was about 6,500 kids, and I look at this, and this is really just it's a good fit. It's a good fit for kids.
Good. Good. We're talking with Jason Blitzinger, assistant superintendent from Richland Bean Blossom Schools, and another one of these hot button topics has been that recently I've kept seeing this on Facebook, social media, that there's this concern all of a sudden of the number of future teachers in colleges right now, that the options for quality teachers, just the general number has dropped. Are you seeing this? I mean, what would you tell somebody if they wanted to become a teacher?
I mean, it's definitely it's a reality. You know, I was talking with Dr. Wilcox about it, and we were looking at the numbers, and it was about 16,000 about a year ago, now down to 6,000 teaching licenses being issued, and it is a reality and something we have to deal with. You know, I would say that, you know, if I was starting over, I would, you know, you have to think long and hard.
Mm-hmm.
About wanting to get into the teaching profession. You know, is this what you want to do? Education's in such a state of transition right now.
Right.
Not just in Indiana, but I think across the nation. I came from Illinois, and it was the same way. Just tons of transition. So I think you really have to, you know, really have to do your research. You really have to understand what is it you want to do, and you know, think long and hard about that.
Okay. We've already touched on this a little bit, technology in the classrooms, iPads, things like that. I remember when the remodel was going on at the high school and Dirk Ackerman took me around, and I thought I had found a major construction flaw because all the areas with lockers were about half the size they used to be. And he said, well, Jimmy, that's because there's not going to be nearly as many books as there used to be as well. So iPads for, I think you said 6 through 12, mm-hmm. 7 through 12. And you in the break, you mentioned the Chromebooks, I think, for the elementary primary ages. Is that correct?
Well, not yet. What we're looking at right now is we're going into our fourth year of iPads mm-hmm. at grades 6 through 12, and as the lifetime of the iPads start to wear,
sure.
and not just that, but as we look at our mission statement and as we look to develop students that are collaborative, you know, that are creative. Developing that digital citizenship, what we're hoping to do is we want to look at, does the device that we use support that model? Does it support the curriculum in which we are engaging our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And we're creating that collaborative and that creative curriculum. You know, we need to reassess, you know, what's the device to help us get that done?
Right.
So as we get into this fall, a few of our classrooms at the junior high school and the high school are going to be piloting Chromebooks. You know, students will have their iPads, but we'll have carts of Chromebooks in those particular classrooms. So that way, you know, we can see what are the benefits. You know, what are some of the drawbacks?
Right.
You know, of an iPad versus a Chromebook and vice versa. And so we want to be able to utilize those. Throughout the first semester to hopefully make a determination of what that device is going to look like to support our curriculum and support our students in developing collaborative skills, creativity, citizenship within mm-hmm. the curriculum as they move throughout their 6 through 12 career. And a wish list for me would be to extend some type of device down K through 5, especially as we get into the new assessment through the mm-hmm. state. I mean, last year we saw tech-enhanced items. We want to give our kids a fighting chance to be able to be successful on the ice step and to have access to those, have access to the technology, have access to the tools that they're going to use in the assessment. But more importantly than the assessment is giving our students the ability to collaborate through our Google Docs, our Google Drive format, our Google Drive platform at the elementary and the secondary level. It's, you know, what's important is that they're collaborating through the technology to create and to develop ideas.
Just think back 20-ish years ago and taking Pascal with Mr. Lawson at Edgewood High School, and the ability to print something on a color printer was pretty stinking magical back in 1992, 93, whatever it was.
And now we're, you know, if we don't have color printer, we're saying, what's the problem?
What's
the matter?
And yeah. You had the paper with the holes on the side that had to feed through the wheel. And anyway, I'm just telling my age here. Talk about your role in motivating teachers and administrators and keeping parents and families engaged in their kids' schoolwork. And I would think that that would be a simple thing when parents talk about their kids, but it isn't always. How do you keep that momentum?
Well, let me talk first about, you know, how we work with kind of how we're structured at RBB and how we work with. You asked me how I motivate teachers and how I motivate staff, and you know, we have excellent building administrators, you know, and they are truly. They are the leadership. They are the instructional leaders in the building, and you know, I work for them. I work for our teachers. I work for our administrators in terms of, you know, setting the course, you know, helping to set the course for the corporation. I talked about, you know, our initiatives and our focus of professional learning communities and focus on continuous quality improvement. Focus on our constant, you know, curriculum development. For instruction and assessments, it's constantly evolving all the time. When you're looking at new data and making decisions on, you know, how we're going to reach kids, you know, those are the tight structures I put out for our corporation. Mm-hmm. The loose structures will then be up to the building principals. How are we going to operate within those structures? You know, how do we develop our PLCs in our building? How do we develop our continuous quality improvement structure? How do we develop the curriculum within the framework that's been given to us? That's up to our building leadership, our teachers and our administrators to say, where are we at this point? How do we continue to get better? Where do we want to go? Mm-hmm. And then we'll get back to the tightness of it, of then how are we going to measure our effectiveness? How are we going to measure what we've been able to do and say, okay, this worked or this not work, and how are we going to make some changes for the future? That's how we try to develop that leadership. It's that what I call a tight, loose, tight structure. Mm-hmm. Because our experts are building administrators and their teachers. Those are the educational experts with working with kids. So then on the other end, it's how do we get parents engaged and how do we get parents involved in the process? You know, it really begins with the communication we put out there. The communication through our family engagement coordinator, Jill Ferguson. We have a parent-to-parent newsletter that we put out on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And you have newsletters, but then you have your parent-to-parent newsletters, and those are just tremendous pieces where she is referencing just instructional strategies that the parents can do at home that are tied to math, that are tied to reading, that are tied to the school improvement goals for our buildings. And so that's constantly communicated electronically. You know, we have a Twitter account. We have a blog post through our corporation website. And so we really encourage parents to get signed up with the blog post, because when you push that information out, it'll just send you a quick email on it. Mm-hmm. So that's been very helpful. And I just put a Facebook site together for our corporation. And so it's, I think we're looking at about 250 hits, and it's only about a week or two old.
We'll get you up there.
So
that's
how people get their information out. It's how they communicate. And it's important that we embrace that, and it's important that we put that information out there. We've been a little slow going with the Facebook and getting things out there on that. But you know what? It's there. And as we get in the school year, we're going to continue to communicate everything that we can through that. And our building principals have really started the same thing with Facebook and Twitter at their buildings, so that way we can get that word out there.
Great. Good deal. We're about out of time. Anything else you want to talk about, mention? We talked about wish list things. Anything, though, you want to share?
You know, wish list, when we were talking about the technology, I guess, you know, what I hope for within our school corporation is I really want to develop the STEM approach to student learning and engagement. And that's science, technology, engineering, and math, and how we develop our curriculum through the STEM approach and providing kids just a variety of pre-engineering opportunities that I think can set us apart from other like corporations in the area. And I think really set us apart from many corporations in the state. You know, we can see STEM started at kindergarten level and develop that all the way through. You know, we have pre-engineering programs at the high school through Project Lead the Way. And we want to develop that early on, so that when kids get to the junior high and they get to the high school, you know, they're going to have those opportunities. And then I think it's a win-win, because I think it gives back to our community. Then you think of the Bloomington area, think of the Richland, Bean Blossom townships. I think it could really give back to our area in the future as soon as kids go through that K-12 STEM program. So that's what I hope to do. That's what we hope to create here in the next few years.
Good deal. Jason Bletzinger, assistant superintendent from RBB, has been our guest. We will put we'll put the Facebook page for RBB up and all the other contact details on our website, wgclradio.com, and our Facebook page as well. So that way people can start liking and following all that stuff. Anytime you want to come in, man, let me know.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. Be back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. All right, let's get to it, everybody. Of course, WGCL Radio is your home for Reds coverage, and they've been playing in Pittsburgh last night, Friday night as well, and then they've got a game on Friday night. I'll get my words out here. Tonight, right after the show at 7:10. Saturday, they've got a game in Pittsburgh also, 7:10 for that one. A couple days off, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday, they're going to be at home playing St. Louis, 7:10 for those games, so right after your local programming here on WGCL. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next weekend, out at Arizona, late starts for those games. Friday night at 9:40, Saturday the 8th at 8:10, and then Sunday in the afternoon at 4:10 for that. Of course, all of that is at WGCLradio.com. So if you want to tune in here to the station at 96.1 FM or AM 1370, you get your Reds coverage right here. I mentioned earlier high school football on WGCL, and Mr. Piller and I have been talking about this along with everybody on the station. We're very excited to be your home for high school football this fall, and starts up in just a couple of weeks now. August 21st, Columbus East is coming to Bloomington High School North. Chalk talk for that game, and most of the games of the season are going to start at 6:30 p.m. on Friday night. So you're going to get short show Fridays with the Bloomington Review. We'll lead you right into Joe Smith, John Callahan, and the rest of the guys as they handle high school football this year. We've also got more than 100 games to share with you, not just on the high school football side, but also we've got your Colts football here as well. We're going to have every prime time NFL game on WGCL, Mondays, Thursdays, and Sundays. There's also going to be some games on Sundays as well when the Colts are not playing that you can hear on WGCL radio. We're going to have every playoff game and, of course, lead you right up to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, taking place on Sunday, February 7th. All of this information is available at WGCLradio.com. When you go on there, click on the Sports tab, and you can find not only your Reds coverage, but you can find your football coverage as well, Colts, high school, all of that good stuff. Make sure that you check that out. Speaking of football, IU Hoosiers are having a rough time right now. This program announced on Thursday, sophomore receiver Jason Harris is going to redshirt the 2015 season after suffering an ACL injury. He led all returning IU receivers with 18 receptions for 168 yards and had a couple of touchdowns as well. And 24/7 Sports named Harris a Big Ten All-Freshman Team member, and he was recognized within the program as IU's Offensive Newcomer of the Year. This is going to hurt a little bit. But there's more. IU also announced fifth-year senior right tackle Ralston Evans has been granted a medical hardship, which ends his career. He's been dealing with knee issues after a leg press accident in 2011, which locked his leg on the machine and tore major ligaments. That sounds terrible. Former Ohio State transfer Tim Gardner will likely compete for the starting job at right tackle. Also, cornerback Kenny Mullen has decided to end his career at IU. He's going to forego his fifth and final season of eligibility. Was set to factor as the team's nickelback this fall, and also announced, Coach Wilson announced freshman defensive lineman Nick Caravellano, redshirt freshman receiver Corey Keel, and junior cornerback Larae Smith have left the program. Then there was also this news that kind of changed real quick as well. Jamie Thompson has left Ohio State, but he's coming to Indiana University. And then this came from NBC Sports. He tweeted out that he was going to be coming to IU and was going to play with IU this fall. But then the sports update was done and announced that Thompson's going to be part of the 2016 recruiting class and will not play for the Hoosiers until next season, so he's going to spend the 2015 season playing in a junior college. I don't know more about that other than what I'm telling you right now. So it was kind of interesting that they announced it and then they immediately changed it. Again, high school football coming up, Reds coverage. Jack Trudeau, former Colt, arrested earlier this week, but that's just something in the past. We're going to take a break because we're running out of time, actually, everybody. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes right here on the Bloomington Review. So glad that you are tuning in here to the show on Friday evening if you're starting your weekend with us, or if you're waking up with us on Saturday morning, glad you grabbed your cup of coffee and tuned into 1370 WGCL or 96.1 if you're on the FM side of things. Forecast for the weekend is looking pretty darn nice. Friday night, tonight, partly cloudy, low around 65. Saturday, sunny with a high near 85. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 67. And then on Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, mostly sunny, though, throughout the day, with a high near 84. And again, all your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Again, thanks to Jason Blitzinger for coming in, and he's just a good guy. He's a good guy, number one. He's the kind of guy that you want involved in your child's education. You can just tell it. It's hard to see, obviously, when you're doing radio, but he's got a good heart, and he's really focused on the kids, the administration, the faculty, the teachers, everyone in RBB, and I know he and Dr. Wilcox have they just have a good heart for all of that. So it's very nice to see that and have him here on the show, and hopefully he'll be back in the not-too-distant future. Next week on the show, we're going to have an Indiana State Police Trooper. Kent Roffling is going to be joining us on a very serious subject, drug use in Monroe County, Southern Indiana. There's been a lot of talk about meth over the last months and years, and really, honestly, how many of you know what it is, what's involved with it, and what do you need to look for? Because that's some serious stuff right now there, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to talk about that and really get onto some deep things with Kent next week. And then the week after, Vicki Pierce from the Community Kitchen will be stopping by to be a guest here on the show. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check it out. Like us, tweet us, follow us, whatever. And of course, WGCLRadio.com as well. If you miss any part of the show, we're over there as well. We'll put all the links for Jason Blitzinger and RBB on the podcast page as well as the Facebook page, so make sure that you follow that. And again, thanks to everybody for listening. Hopefully we'll see Mr. Pillar back in the studio as well next week. Have a safe week. Don't forget your Monday commute, your Tuesday commute, Wednesday, Thursday, probably Friday. Watch for the kids. Watch for the school buses. Everybody have a great, safe weekend. Bye-bye.